Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a young man working in a produce department, and a little old man came up to him and said, "I want to buy a half a head of lettuce." The young man replied somewhat sarcastically, "A half a head? Are you crazy? God makes those heads of lettuce in one whole piece, and that's the way that we sell them." "Young man," the old man said, "I've been shopping here for 20 years. Are you going to tell me that you're not going to sell me a half a head of lettuce?" "Tell you what," the young man said, "I'll go check with the manager." And he marched smartly up to the front of the store where he found the manager. He said, "You won't believe this. There's a lame brain little old man out in the back there who wants to know if he can buy a half a head of lettuce." The expression of horror on the manager's face told the young man there was something wrong. And as he turned around, the little old man had followed him and was standing there right behind him. And the young man quickly added, "And this nice little old man would like to buy the other half." Later that day, the manager found the young man and said, "You know, that was the greatest use of words I've ever seen. How did you learn how to be so clever and think so quickly?" The young man said, "I grew up in Grand Rapids. You know, Grand Rapids is known for its ugly women and its wonderful, wonderful teams." The manager's face flushed. "My wife is from Grand Rapids," he said, to which the young man replied, "And which team does she play for?" Sometimes our words are not as soft and tender as we would like them to be. Sometimes we say things that we wish we hadn't. Sometimes we say things that we know we shouldn't have. I had a consultant tell me one time that words are things, and you have to think, well, how can a word be a thing? Well, words have power. Words have impact. Words can have strong consequences. Words have the power to build somebody up or to tear somebody down. Words can hurt people. They can start arguments. They can cause riots. They can even cause wars. Our words are very important. In our epistle lesson for today, James speaks out about our words in somewhat of an indirect fashion because he talks about our tongue. Anatomically, our tongue is kind of a minuscule part of the rest of our body. It weighs less than 2.5 grams. That's less than 1/1000th of 1% of our body weight. Overall, its average is only about 4 inches long. It has anywhere from 2 to 10,000 taste buds that are replaced every couple of weeks. When we eat, when we chew, our tongue darts in and out between our teeth and rarely gets bitten. And most importantly for today's consideration, our tongue is important and vital for speech. James, in the reading, lists several examples of how something small can control something large. He says we can take a small bit and put it in a horse's mouth, and we can control where that horse goes. That small bit controls a 1,200-pound horse. And he uses the example of a small rudder on a ship that the pilot can use to control that ship and make it go wherever he chooses. He says, an entire forest is set ablaze by a very small fire. James doesn't mince any words today in what he calls the tongue. He uses words like it's a restless evil, He says it's full of poison. He says with it we bless God and we curse the people that God made in his own image. He calls the tongue a fire. He calls it a world of unrighteousness. And then he concludes that almost any critter or any beast or any bird can be trained, can be tamed, can be controlled, but not so the human tongue. He says no human has ever gained complete control of the tongue. And then he concludes with a very appropriate statement. My brothers, this ought not to be. And certainly he's right, it ought not to be. But we have all have to admit that we have said bad things about others, to others, even about ourselves. Sometimes we have used words that are formed by our tongue that are intended to hurt. What choice of words do you use when you hit your thumb with a hammer? What choice of words do you use when somebody cuts you off in traffic? In moments of anger, we launch a venomous attack of words that are meant to cause hurt and pain and anguish. When we feel threatened, we make threats to harm somebody else with our words. And then there are those times when we can't wait to share the latest gossip, even knowing that, well, we don't have all of the exact details and we're not sure of the specifics, but we just can't wait to share that information anyway. James' point is that even though the tongue is a very small part of our body, it can create a forest fire of problems. But he also says, with our tongue, we bless the Lord, we praise God, we sing praises to God. Today, we sit here this morning in church singing hymns, and we'll be praying here in a few minutes. And we do those same things with our tongue. And so we are faced with a dilemma. As I prepared, I was reminded of Paul's comment in Romans chapter 7, where he says, I do not understand my own actions. I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing that I hate. We don't say the things that we should say. Rather, we say the things that we shouldn't. And we say the very things that cause sometimes the most hurt and the most pain. This is another example of the tension that we Christians live in. It's another example of us being sinners and saints at the same time. And so what is it that we can do? I think the answer may come today in the reading from Isaiah chapter 50. This reading is the third of what is known as servant songs. The one which we consider today is the one that is prophesying the coming of the Messiah. It focuses on Jesus' rejection by the world. It describes him as being a suffering servant. Isaiah writes, I have given my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to all of those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and from spitting. Doesn't that sound like Jesus during his trial? And then in verse 7, Isaiah goes on, he who vindicates me is near. He's talking about Jesus. To vindicate is to justify, to maintain, to support, to defend, to uphold. Today, that same Jesus who said, it is finished, and rose again 3 days later is still near. Today, that same Jesus upholds us as well as near as the home to which we go. Today, that same Jesus who defends us from Satan's cruel lies is as near as the prayer that you say. Today, that same Jesus who supports this body in life is as near as all of the blessings that we have in our lives. Today, that same Jesus who maintains us sits at the right hand of the Father. Today, that same Jesus who justifies us is as near as the altar where we will be receiving his body and blood in a few minutes. Today at that altar, this same Jesus comes near to us in the bread and the wine that we will receive. And in receiving that body and that blood, all the fires that we have started with our tongues will be extinguished. All of our cursing that we have done will be washed away. All the evil and hurtful words that we have said will be forgotten. Today, when we receive Jesus in body and blood, we will begin our lives anew one more time. We'll begin anew so that we can share with others the grace and the mercy that God has so richly shared with us. And so I close with this one final statement. Please keep your words soft and tender, because you never know when you might have to eat them. Amen.